You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. How can it be that the Most High of the universe is willing to make a covenant with you? How can it happen that a relationship with your Creator may succeed? Grace be with you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are studying the theme, the promise, God's everlasting covenant, lesson 12, covenant faith. Our Bible text, our memory text for this week, is written in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Reflections of Calvary. I sometimes try to remember in my own personal experience, how did it happen that I started to love Christ? What was the reason for it? Why so? What happened? And when I try to remember, then I discover I studied the Lord's life, what he was willing to do for me. Imagine, he is the ruler of the universe, flying around from planet to planet, from one solar system to the next, in a jiffy, quicker than the light. And then, voluntarily, he starts living here in human flesh. But not even that. He wasn't born in a palace. He was not the son of a king here on earth, living in the most beautiful, most comfortable surroundings you could find here on this planet. No, in a stable he was born, amid the animals. So here is something, how could it be? Why was he willing to humble himself in such a tremendous way? Why so? Out of love. And it was this love of him which I had a look at that changed my mind. Then I discovered, oh, I am loved by the ruler of the universe, by the king of the kings. And he was even willing to die from the hands of the people he created himself. Unbelievable. Out of love, he acted. Out of love for me and you. And when remembering his love for me, then something in my heart started to work. He, because of his love, created love in me towards him. So he was the first who loved me. And he showed it to me when I studied his word. So that's the way how it works. Studying Jesus' life. Whenever you will do that, you will discover he loves me. He loves you. And out of this, something will happen in you. And then life will begin. That's the start, the new start for a new life in peace, in harmony with God. And then you will experience joy and love and satisfaction, fulfilled desire because of this. The covenant and the sacrifice. We read the text of the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So we have inherited ways from our fathers which are worthless in reality, simply worthless, without value. But we were ransomed from these futile ways. And this is something which impresses me a lot. We were ransomed by the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He suffered as a lamb without blemish or spot for me, for my sin. What could I do to get rid of my past? What could I do? Nothing at all. I've spoken in a wrong way. I have hurt people. Yes, I can go there and say, oh, sorry, but I cannot catch back my words. They are gone. They are there. And they found their way to the ear of the listener. So my words hurt somebody. But when you come to Jesus, he tells you, I have paid for you with my blood on the cross. So this blood is the best washing powder on earth. It can even remove stains of blood. Even that. It's the best washing powder for your sin. The only washing powder for your sin. Nothing else can clean it. So when Jesus said this, he wanted to help us getting rid of our sins. In the letter of Paul to the Romans, we find in chapter 6 the following verse. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's a fact. But the gift of God, what's that? Is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin followed by death. The gift of God, eternal life. That's the difference. Death, second death, eternal life. What difference? And a letter I love so much, this first letter of John, which is really a revelation for me whenever I'm going to read it. And it would be good for you to read this first letter of John once a month. Believe me, that's very, very helpful for me. Very, very helpful. And here we read in the fifth chapter of the first letter of John. There are only five chapters here, so you are quick in going through it. And there we read in verses 11 onwards. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Do you have the Son? Are you in a relationship with him? Then you are lucky. Then you will be ransomed by his blood. The Face of Abraham, Part 1. In Genesis chapter 15, we read the following from the beginning. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. This is the first fine point. Fear not. In these times of COVID-19, this coronavirus, we're full of fear, aren't we? Maybe this disease will catch me. And then, maybe my breath, I will be out of breath, and then I have to be in the hospital, and. Fear not, the Lord says to us. Fear not. That's the first point. The next one. I am thy shield. Now, when you think in former times, Middle Ages, antique areas, ages, when you had to fight as a soldier, a shield was something which could protect you from the blow of an enemy with his sword or an arrow. It's stuck in the shield and not stuck in your heart or your body. So the shield is something in front of you. And this shield helps you not to be killed. Now God says, I am thy shield. God is my shield. We know the President of the United States, he has a special person around him. When there's an attack, this person is trained to jump in front of the President so that the President is not hit, but the one in front of him instead. So, God says, I am thy shield. I take care of you. I'm your safety God. Oh, that's great. The ruler of the universe, the king of the kings, is willing to be my shield. Oh, that's great. I like this text very much, believe me. And I am thy exceeding great reward. Now that's important as well. Many people think they get a reward from God when they behave properly and when they follow the commandments, when they obey God's words and so on. And then they think, well, then I am paid for it. This is wrong. Let me tell you, this is wrong. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. He says, I am thy exceeding great reward. I am thy reward. So you have to take his hand, not what's in his hand. Oh, you will get that as well when you take his hand. But if you want to take only what's in his hand, you are lost. You need him. He's your reward. That's the difference. So when people do marry, what do? They want to get the hand of the other person. They want to get the person. And if this person has some income and a house or a car or whatever, fine, we liked it. But the most important thing is the person, isn't it? You're not going to marry the house or the job or whatever. You want to marry this person. And do you want to marry Jesus or do you want to get what he has in his hand? There's a difference. Be careful about that. The Face of Abram, Part 2. So we read this text in Genesis 15, verse 1. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But Abram was in a depressive state, and he said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, and God answers nothing. So Abram goes on saying, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And now God starts speaking. This shall not be thine heir. Not Eliza of Damascus. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now to what heaven, it is night. And tell the stars, count them, how many are there? If you be able to number them, you need good eyes. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Numbering the stars in heaven. And this Abraham was told when his age was too old to have babies anymore around, especially his wife. But then we read, and Abraham believed in the Lord. He trusted him. He did so. And He, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. That's the point. The Lord counted his belief, the trusting in God, for righteousness. Abraham is therefore the father of faith for us. He couldn't see any facts in reality, could only see roadblocks everywhere. Too old, no more chance. My wife, too old, so I will not have children, no son, so everything is lost. Someone who is not from my household, I mean not from my flesh, one of my household, he will be my heir. That's it. That's sad. But God tells him, no, number the stars. Can you number them? So many will come out of your body. And Abraham believed, because the Lord said it. And that's so important. And because he believed in something he could not see, he believed, although there was nothing in reality to build on, the only thing he could build on was trusting in the Lord, believing the Lord, having faith in the word of the Lord. And therefore, he is our father in faith. And if you have this faith, if you believe like Abraham, if you trust God like Abraham, you will be saved. Then this will be counted for righteousness. That's the point. It's a trusting relationship. This is the condition. A trusting, loving relationship between you and the ruler of the universe. And if it's just something where you think, well, after death, maybe it would be good to be around the Lord, so okay, let's do something for him, this will not work. You can't work for him to get there. You can only trust in him to get there, to ask him that your sins may be forgiven. And if you are earnest, he will do so. Resting on the promises. I like this headline. Resting on the promises. Now we will have a look at some Bible texts. In Psalm 34, verse 8, we read, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. If you want to taste something, you have to come close to someone. He wants to give you something to taste it, so that your tongue may taste it. So you have to come close. And this is the first condition, coming close to Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. This is a Bible text you should learn by heart and memorize it again and again and again, that you can keep it in memory. That's important. Taste and see. In the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, we read in chapter 5, this wonderful verse 1. It's a wonderful verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we justified? By faith, by trusting Him, by believing in Him. I remember as a teacher, a lady, mother of a pupil of in my school, she stepped up to me and asked, "I've heard you belong to another denomination, another form of religion. Now tell me, when I am a Roman Catholic," she said, "and when I attend to Mass, and when I go out, when I leave, I still hunger in my desire for peace with God. I cannot find peace." What about you? Can you tell me how to find peace? Oh, what a question. How can I find peace with the Lord? Martin Luther, for years, this was something he did not know. But in the end, he found out. Because he read it here when studying the epistle of Paul to the Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith. By faith. Yeah, what do I have to do? Have faith. Faith in his blood, believing in him, trusting him, that he will keep what he's going to promise in his word, the Bible, for you. But how can I taste, feel, come close to him? Trust him. Act according to his words. Trust him. If he recommends something, go ahead. And if he says, "Oh no, don't follow this way," then do not follow. That's trusting in his word. And this is a reaction to Jesus' love for you. And out of love, it will work. But only out of love, it will work. Otherwise, it's senseless. And this great text in the epistle of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 2. Wow! Verse 6. "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man," Jesus Christ. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. He was a volunteer for you, that your reaction will be love for him. Summary. We read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me," the Lord says, "all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You're burdened with a heavy load. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Okay, now I come. But then we read, "Take my yoke upon you." Ooh, I knew it. There is something behind. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now what does that mean? "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." So what does it mean? when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Now I have to tell you something of those days. In those days, animals were used to carry wagons, to carry a plow in the field. And the yoke was something which was used so that this, which had to be carried, could be connected to the animal. So it was the connection point, the yoke. And here we read of a yoke which is double in size for two animals, so that they can carry a load together. So these two yokes are connected. It's one yoke for two animals. And now Jesus says, come unto my yoke. Learn from me. In former days, when a young ox or cow or whatever, or horse, was used to learn how to carry something, it should learn first to walk just beside, on the side of the experienced animal who had a yoke for years or so. And the young one only had to learn to trot along on the side under the double yoke. And this is the picture Jesus wants to draw for you. He carries the load when you bring your load to him, your heavy loaded wagon. Then he will take care of it. It will be connected to his yoke. And you only have to walk beside him. Without any load, you just walk under the yoke, but carrying the yoke is Jesus. So you only have to go at his side, to walk at his side. That's all. Therefore he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is the learning process. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So this is the good message. So you walk along, carrying your wagon full of load, your problems. You don't know how to solve this or that or whatever. And now Jesus says, come to me. Give your load to me. I will take care of it. You only have to come under my yoke. Just beside me. I will carry your wagon with all your load and you just walk at my side. That's all you have to do. So you will find rest and peace and safety. And, as he writes here, I will give you rest. Do you want to get this? Come to Jesus.